The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Do you know what chicks love?
Tell me.
Six-pack abs.
And big dongs.
Six-pack abs and big dongs. Chicks love both of them. Would you agree?
Yeah, actually, that's
true. I thought
that
was like a scientific fact.
Do you know what goes along with those two things?
What?
A ripped muscular body.
Oh, good point.
Ooh.
You know how you get a ripped muscular body?
How?
You got to train correctly. You got to train properly. You have to get anabolic.
So you're saying I'm doing it wrong?
You got to get anabolic.
How do we do that?
Well, first you train properly, but then you're not going to get ripped unless you eat properly.
Tell me more.
You got to eat properly. You got to train properly. That's the only way to get a six pack and a big dong.
Where do I find this?
Mindpumpradio.com. Click on the yellow button. It's all on sale right now.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hit it, Justin.
Here I am, on the road again. There I am, up on the stage. There I go.
Yeah.
Showing my body off.
Yes.
There it is.
Dude, he's
Adam Schaefer.
Bro, we're on the road.
I feel so uncomfortable with him singing that song and the way he's looking at me right now.
First of all, you think that's uncomfortable.
Your shorts are bright orange, bro. Yeah. Where am
what
I
are we?
Supposed
who,
to go?
Who are we right now? What are we and who the fuck are we with?
This is Mind Pump and you're listening to Sal DiStefano, Justin Andrews, and Adam Schaefer wearing the bright orange shorts with green underwear underneath. What the?
Yowls.
Bro, you look like a Skittle.
Hey, bro.
Yeah, you do look like a Skittle.
Taste a rainbow.
Hey, so we're going to talk about, because you're what, how many weeks out from the San Jose Pro are you?
Oh, this is what we're going to talk about?
Yeah, fuck yeah, bro. Okay. I think people want to hear about.
We want to know your shit.
Trials and tribulations.
We're 4 weeks out now, bro. 4 weeks out.
4 weeks until you compete.
June 27th, Santa Clara Convention Center.
Pump
San Jose
it on
Pro.
Your calendar, ladies.
Hey, are we inviting all the pump heads to come watch you pose in,
dude, absolutely,
in your
bro.
Board shorts?
Absolutely, man. I told you already. What my biggest goal, the two biggest goals I have for this show. One, I'm going to bring the sickest version of me, hands down. No doubt, I've put in the last 6 to 8 months of building, and I've built the best physique I've built yet, so I will bring the sickest conditioning for sure. And reason why I know that is because of the hard work that I put in beforehand, and I started my prep earlier than what I normally do for a show. The second goal that I have is I want to have the sickest crowd there, dude. I don't care if I take dead last. If I come out, I know my physique is the best I've ever brought, which that'll make me happy. And then I walk out on stage and it's like fucking, yeah. I want bras getting thrown on stage, like just
yes. Dude,
standing on people's shoulders.
We should go.
Just epic, yeah. Bro. People be like, what is this? This is not a
he's like the
show.
Brett Michaels of physique.
You know what we're going to do? Me and Justin are going to go to like Walmart and buy like a box of granny panties and just and just start chucking
hell
on
yeah.
the stage.
Just color them brown.
Just start throwing a whole bunch of them and we'll color in like little skid marks on them.
IFBB League is so going to launch me, bro. After that, but it'd be so worth it. That's how I want to go. I'm gonna go out with a bang.
We'll make like bra slingshots and just shoot shit at him.
If he loses, what we'll do is we'll start a riot. We'll just start a fucking mat like he lost like he lost the Stanley Cup.
Start hitting people with chairs.
Yeah, we'll flip a cop
take
car.
Take my shirt off.
Yeah.
We'll be all Hulk.
So is your training, Adam? Is your training? Your training is different now. You're incorporating a lot of the stuff that Justin was doing with like the programs, like the phasing and the trigger sessions and all.
Yeah,
that.
Yes,
you got your own little twist.
Yeah, as I say, yes and no, because yes, I mean. Our foundation is always the same. So the MAPS anabolic and how we phase things is always the foundation of my program. Doesn't matter what I'm doing.
Right.
And then off of that, I always, depending what my goals are at that time, and since I'm super motivated in the men's physique world right now, it's aesthetics and symmetry. So I use our MAPS program as my foundation, and then I build everything off of that. And so right now, and as I'm getting closer to the show, you're starting to see my volume increase on my workout, my intensity increase on my workout. Yeah, all that's happening. My trigger sessions are way – a lot of it too for me, to be real, since we're the raw fitness truth here, is
consistency.
So consistency. We raw dog it.
It's consistency. I mean, you know, and to be 100% honest, you know, when it's off season and, you know, I'll take a day off from trigger sessions. I just don't feel like doing them, you know, or my workouts will end at, you know, I'll get a good workout at 40 minutes. I won't, you know, push all the way through for an hour, hour and a half or whatever. And when it comes game time for me, like that's where my competitive switch happens. And there's no hiccups, there's no missed days, there's no short workouts, there's no missed trigger sessions. Like, it's on, it's game on.
Now, here, I have a question for you, because you're obviously pretty lean. You have a long history of training now for aesthetics, right?
Yeah.
I always get this, people asking this question, or actually commenting on this, and I noticed this with myself, that obviously consistency is very important for any type of you know, routine when it comes to, you know, changing your physique. But with the trigger sessions, consistency makes a huge difference. Like, way more. Like, if you do one trigger session a day, it's so much different than when you do three times a day. It's like, it's not three times better, it's like 10 times better.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Oh, very quiet signal. No.
Absolutely. And I already know it, because I've been here before. I've done it before, and that's just that is the reason why I like to talk about being real with people that follow me. And, you know, it drives me crazy. It sucks that when I post like pictures, like, you know, from 4 weeks ago, like how I am or where I'm at currently, that it gets like mediocre amount of likes. But watch the next 2 weeks. You're going to watch my likes on my pictures go from about 400 up to 1,000. Because as soon as I get shredded, everybody's like, yeah.
Bro, you got to use the filters and lighting like I do. You like that?
Well, you know, I like to keep it as real as possible, so people can see that, you know, I don't walk around at 4% body fat or less year round. It just whether you could do it or not, you know, it's not the healthiest thing ever, nor is it realistic for me. You know, for me, it in my 30s and stuff like that, I'm a little more comfortable in the high single digits. You know, 8 to 10% range would be.
Plus, to be honest, it's not. I don't know about you, but I notice for me when I get down that lean, it's not comfortable. It's like I feel like my body temperature fluctuates really, you know, fast.
Oh, you're ultra sensitive.
Yeah,
you're ultra sensitive to everything. You're ultra sensitive to food. I mean, okay, so today I'm teaching today, right? So funny you say that. So I'm on my second day in a row of low carb, and I'm teaching these TRXers. So I was gone for a week for jury duty, right? And so I'm teaching classes, and literally three different times I had to like close my eyes and stop because I was getting up and down from the ground. And because I'm low carb right now, I was lightheaded and dizzy, you know? And like everybody in the class is kind of looking at me. We were like, what the fuck is wrong with him?
There's our instructor.
Yeah. There goes our super fit. And then I tip over. It's not, this is the sport of it. And I always remind people that this is the competitive side of it, that it is not the most healthy. Now, mind you, the whole time that I'm going through this, I try and keep it as healthy as I possibly can away. And I really don't think I get unhealthy till probably the last week. You know, the last week, maybe 14 days tops, would I consider myself unhealthy. Right now, I'm 100% healthy. In fact, the lowest my carbohydrate intake drops is 150 to 180 grams a day. So typically I start my prep, you know, I'm sure this is the questions. I'm going to go ahead and answer questions before you even ask me, because I know what you're going to ask.
Well, this is going to be a one-sided interview. Yeah, I know what you're going to ask, so I'm just going to keep going on and on and on.
or maybe,
I love you, buddy. I love you. Keep going.
Fucking dick. First, Sal blindsides me with it, and then now I just take over the interview.
Well, I was like trying to think of some cool questions. But I know what you're going to ask.
Well, here's the reason why I'm just going to go ahead and like talk about it, because I feel like the two of you.
He's not going to stop.
The two of you have, and we will. We'll get a chance for you guys to ask me stupid questions. But I think there's people that listen that are actually competitors and that actually are probably curious of.
Bro, I had a really good question.
Let's hear it.
All right.
I want to hear it. Let's hear it. Yeah, that.
What color are your board shorts?
See? Told you. Stupid question. Red.
Okay.
Yeah. Red this time. I bought brand new ones. They've never been worn before.
Oh, good.
Red ones.
Okay.
Solid red.
All right, Mine was going to be walkout songs.
Let's see, you know what? I'm going to challenge you guys right here. Right. Let's hear some questions you have for me real quick.
All right. How often are you tanning at the moment?
None.
When do you start tanning?
Not till the last 10 days.
Don't look at me with that roll your eyes. Because
you're asking stupid questions. Can you ask them? Come on.
No, those are good questions.
Those are not good questions. Nobody who's a competitor or somebody who's considering competitive is they're like the number one thing on my mind right now is I wonder what color his board shorts are and I wonder if he starts tanning 6 weeks out.
You're right. We're horrible at this.
No, they
We apologize. Continue.
Okay, I got nothing.
Yeah, you're right. All right, continue.
So,
I'll think of something.
Yeah. Most people would like to know, when do I start cutting for a show? At what point do I start that?
I was going to ask that.
Well, dude, I want to know how many days till this actual event. So
we're 4 weeks out. 26 days exactly.
There we go.
Okay, so okay, 20.
So 20 the clock is on.
Wait, the clock's been on for me for almost already a month. So I start this prep. I started 8 weeks out.
8 weeks out. Okay.
And typically, I don't start till about 4 to 6 weeks out. So I'm about 2 to 4 weeks ahead of schedule, and I did that on purpose this time because I want to be stage ready 2 weeks out before my show so I can practice my peak week.
So you're going to do like a little mini bulk again and then cut
just,
down?
Just slow down. You're just
slowing your cut.
Yeah. I'm just going to slow. Once I get down to about 2 or 3% body fat, obviously there's no reason for me to go any deeper. So I'll stay right there and I'll load my body back up and I'll practice my loading.
Now, I got a question for you. Would you be afraid of rebound trying to hold that 2, 3% for that long? Because I know getting that lean, it's tough to hold on to.
Mentally. But I mean, I pride myself on the mental discipline part. I think a lot of people have struggle because one, that's a good question actually.
Boom, five points for Sal.
That is a good question because I think a lot of athletes do struggle with something like that, and a lot of that is just not understanding their body, not understanding the science behind it and why it responds a certain way. I understand exactly why I would feel a certain way. I know why. What will the cravings? If I'm cutting and I'm cutting drastically, and then all of a sudden I refeed, you know, you're talking about leptin levels and stuff like that. I'm going to shoot that up. That's going to cause my metabolism to fire back up, and I'm going to be hungry as shit.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, I already know that I need to be on my game because I know it's going to be hard. But if I fight that, I know that I'm working with my metabolism instead of against it, instead of feeding it like a monster and then overfeeding and overspilling and then gaining weight. That's not what I want to do.
So, how are you shooting your leptin levels up? Because I know, I mean, I'm familiar with the hormone leptin.
Right. Leptin and ghrelin, those that sort of relationship.
Yeah, and so are you going to like, is this because you're going to feed yourself more days to do that?
Okay, so first of all, leptin is the mother of all mother when it comes to fat loss hormones. And when you become, the leaner you become, the more crucial this becomes. As you started getting down into single digit body fat, which I'm probably five-ish or so right now, your leptin levels, your leptin hormone becomes even more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say I'm carb depleting for 2 or 3 days. And as soon as I go, like, so today's day two of me carb depleting. And yesterday I started that and I woke up this morning and I felt leaner. You know, today I woke up, felt leaner again. Tomorrow I'll wake up, probably feel a little bit leaner again, but it'll slow down in comparison to what it felt like on day one, day two. And that's your leptin. That's your body telling your body. So leptin fires a signal to the brain and says, you have lots of energy to burn. So when you have lots of calories, that's like the
whole thing. It responds to all of the storage that you've accumulated.
Exactly. Right. The thermogenic effect that people talk about with food by eating big meals and stuff like that, part of that has a role to play with leptin. When leptin, your body goes, hey, we ate 10,000 calories. We got lots of energy to burn. So the brain says, hey, we got lots of fuel. And therefore, your metabolism actually does kick up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the opposite happens, when you go the opposite direction, when you restrict and you cut really hard, then the body goes, hey, we don't have very much energy.
Whoa. Let's hold on to this.
So that's the starvation mode. So then the body says, ooh. And that becomes way more sensitive. And you got to play with that more the leaner that you become.
You know what? You know what's right. Cool? You know what's cool about that? It's a little leptin nerdism. That was only discovered
the nerd is 1996.
It was 94, 96,
yeah, 94,
right?
96.
And they thought that it would be like the panacea, like
holy grail.
Yeah, we're going to get people
give you leptin shots.
Well, the problem with it is that they thought that you would be able to take, and just the listeners that are hearing me talk about it right now, don't go run out and go buy some fucking Lipton or Leptin pills, because there's a ton of stuff on the market that manipulates that.
Yeah, but if you take it orally, it just gets destroyed.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't do anything. Yeah. It doesn't. We can't take anything to elevate.
What
that
about a suppository?
You just want to put something in your butt.
Yeah. I was like, what is that? You actually stopped me from trying to. Wait a second. What does that have to do?
Trying to spice this up here.
So, yeah. So, this becomes. So, this is also what's called the refeed. So, a lot of athletes. I love talking about this because a lot of athletes, they just do what their coaches told them. You know, whether it be carb depleting, carb cycling, whatever method they use. But a lot of the times they don't understand the science behind it, which is always what, and I shouldn't laugh because I know there's probably people listening that have struggled with this. And if your coach has put you on a low carb diet, you're already like 5 to 9% body fat and you've been at 50 grams of carbohydrates for weeks on end. You're just like putting so many rocks in your backpack. It's hilarious. It's like there's no reason for you to do that. And in fact, what you've done is you've lowered your levels so low that your body thinks it's starving. So it is, you are seeing incremental change. And I mean tiny, just simply refeeding the body, loading it back up, and then telling it like, we got lots of fuel. We'll kickstart that metabolism again, shoot those leptin levels up again, and tell the body like, restart.
Now, we should be clear that this is advice that you'd give to an athlete, someone who competes or physique. Because if you're, you know, 50 pounds overweight, average person, then going low carbohydrate, you know, higher fat, moderate protein for longer periods of time, totally fine. But if you're, like Adam says, an athlete...
Well, yes and no.
You want to build up insulin sensitivity,
well,
right?
what happens when somebody's obese is they actually develop, before insulin resistance many times, they'll develop leptin resistance.
Yes.
And when you have leptin resistance, that's what leads to... Your body's pushing out all this leptin, but your brain isn't getting the signal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, extended you know, lengths of time on a low carbohydrate diet, and this is, again, we're talking about people who need to lose a lot of weight, absolutely fine. But if you're an athlete... You know, people ask all the time about ketogenic diets. You know, I eat less carbs than Adam does. Well, first off, I'm smaller than he is, so I don't need quite as much. But second off, I teeter into ketosis. I might tip into it every once in a while, but it's not something
it's not your main operating system.
No, because then you lose athletic performance.
And it's a slower operating system.
Yeah, and you lose your pumps in the gym. You don't have good pumps. You feel kind of... So, you know, like I did this weekend, actually. This weekend, I ate more carbohydrates. And when I do this, I drop my fat, so my calories aren't necessarily higher. And then I have great workouts, and I feel like you said, like I feel like my body's metabolism kicks into gear.
So you're right on the fact that this, if you are really 50 pounds overweight or more, that it's less important, but it still applies though. I mean, if you're, let's say you're a client, and I get this when I coach people who's 100 pounds overweight, and I start you on this restrictive diet, or maybe you've already been on this restrictive diet, and you're only eating 1500 calories, the same rules apply with your leptin levels, and you can, and because you're, let's say, at 1500 calories, you're still going to lose body fat because you're a 300 pound person only eating 1500 calories. Your body is going to burn, but it will burn at a slower rate on week 15 is that what it was burning at week one. And simply refeeding your body sometime before that would help with the leptin levels and would help with the body no matter what, whether you're obese or not. But like Sal said, it's not as important because you've got such a long way to go, and
you might already have leptin, you know, resistance.
Exactly. And you could have leptin resistance, and then so it's less sensitive. But don't be fooled, because I'll still refeed one of my clients who is now. Here is the key. You hear me say the word refeed, and this is also the big mistake that a lot of athletes and a lot of freaking IG people
is
cheat meal Sunday, and you go, okay, well, I'm going to eat low, and you get super
donuts.
And then they go fucking bananas on the weekend, and then they overconsume.
And they're like, this is going to speed up my metabolism. Exactly. I'm going to eat 5 pizzas.
So let me give you guys kind of an idea of my numbers so you can get an idea of what that looks like for me. So what I consider low.
And you're, before you do, how big are you? Like your weight? In height, right? So they can get an idea of scale. Yeah. How wide? Yeah. What's the circumference?
My girth is like 3.5-4 inches.
It's like a soda can.
It's like a soda can.
It's the same circumference as like a 2-year-old child's arm.
Wow.
So,
Mama.
God.
So my weight,
that went bad.
My weight is currently right now, first thing in the morning, completely sucked out and dry, I'm about 217 pounds. So I'm 217 pounds, lean body mass. I have about 207. I'm only got about 10 to 12 pounds of fat on my body right now. So I'm walking 200 close to 10 pounds.
In other words, if we were on a plane that crashed in the Himalayas, you'd be disgusting. I wouldn't even want to eat you. Yeah. There's no flavor.
Super lean and tough.
And honestly, most all that body fat's held in my cheeks. So if you
we'd be fighting.
Yeah.
Me and Justin would be fighting over those.
Gnawing that shit.
So, okay. So now that we know an idea of where my body type is, now everyone's different. So, you know, someone could be listening to this and be like, oh my God, so much. Or someone listening like, oh, I need way more. Okay. Well, that's good for you. The point is that you figure it out. You figure out what your maintenance is. So what you need to do first, okay, is you need to be consistent about what you do, whatever you do, and eating wise. So I've done this so many times, I kind of know like where my calorie maintenance. Now, mind you, it changes every show.
Now, isn't on our nutrition survival guide on the revised version, which is coming out soon, it has a way for you to get a good idea of what your resting metabolic rate is, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. Yeah, the formula's in there.
Right, and you can buy it by itself now. We just changed that. So if someone just wants that, they can get that. They
don't have to
get the whole package.
So that's a perfect example.
Simplified, everything, you know, is pretty straightforward now. Yeah, I took a lot of the feedback, you know, from previous comments and then applied it so everybody could, you know.
And this is Justin's strength. Justin got down and dirty with this thing and made it really easy to use. Yeah. And I think the revised version is going to blow people's brains out.
I get dirty, baby.
Well, and this is a perfect example. So now you take the nutrition guide, you plug all your numbers in, now you get your caloric maintenance level. So let's just say we're going to use me since we're talking to me about what I got going on.
We love using you.
So my calorie maintenance level is approximately 4,000 calories. So for my body to stay where it's at, not gain any weight, not really lose any weight, I hover right around 3,800 to 4,000 calories.
Wow, that's a lot of calories for maintenance.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a big guy and I move a lot. So 3,800 to 4,000 calories is about where my maintenance level is. Now, when I say maintenance level too, there's a difference between basic metabolic rate. If my basic metabolic rate is probably about 2,800 calories.
And that's just you sitting there not moving.
Exactly.
Right.
Not moving around all day long. My body needs just by itself 2,800 calories. But since I train at least once, plus I'm mobile throughout my day, my body's burning an additional 1,000 plus calories. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's where you get the 3,800. So 3,800 to 4,000 calories is my maintenance. Now when I'm restricting, like on a low carb day, I'm consuming closer to about 180 to 200 grams of carbs. When I'm eating 180 to 200 grams of carbs, my calories now are right around 2,800 or so. So I'm in about 1,000 calorie deficit for 2 days straight. So 2 days straight, I'm in 1,000 calorie deficit. Day three is when I refeed. Okay. Sometimes I'll go to day four, but as I get leaner, it becomes more important for me to feed. So the leaner you become, the more important it becomes for you to refeed. The higher body fat percentage I have, the further days I can stretch before I have to do that.
So it's a surplus then for your refeed?
My refeed is just a slight surplus. So that's the key.
So you're aiming for maintenance to surplus type of deal, like right in between those two? Is that what you're doing? Or
When I refeed.
When you refeed.
Yes.
So 3,800, so you're aiming for what? Like 38, 39, something like that?
No, closer to about 4,000 to 4,500. Okay. So I'm a little over.
Okay.
Because I'm coming from a complete deficit, right?
Because you get that 2 days of...
And I'm sucked out. Exactly. Yeah. So a majority of that's going to go back to filling all my glycogen stores and everything like that. And then if I eat a little bit over, you know, what's 200 to 300 calories? That's not even, you know, it's not even going to...
Especially since you were at a 2,000 deficit for those 2 days.
Exactly.
Okay.
But where a lot of people make a mistake is this, and this is where the normal person, not on a competitive level, just
he's sounding nerdy right now.
I love it.
This is great.
Oh, so smart.
So attracted
to
you.
So proud of him. Yeah,
continue.
Get out of here. This interview is over.
No, keep going. I want to hear more.
So
we don't get to do this enough.
We don't ever do this. Actually, you guys you guys never talk about men's physique. You guys have this men's physique guy here.
We love it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yes, I refeed. So when I refeed, I'm hitting that anywhere between, you know, 3,800 on the low end to more likely about 4,500 calories. Now, here's the tricky part where I think not only athletes, but even more so the common people make this mistake when they're cutting is I'm now going to have refired up that metabolism. So when I go back, guess what? That's low carb, low calorie day again. That's a hard day. The first day back is hard because
you're
hungry.
You fired it back, and
that's brutal.
The discipline to fight through that is what really shreds that fat. If you have that ability to know, and for me, because I know the science, I know what's happening in my body, I got the discipline to do it. But most people don't know. They're just listening to how their body feels, and they feel that sensation. And they're like, oh shit, I need to eat. I'm supposed to eat. I'm starving today, or what that. And then what they end up doing is the next day when it should be low again, they're eating that high calories because your body says it wants 4,000 calories again. And then if you continue to refeed at that 4,000 calorie mark again, you're going to plateau and you're not going to lose any more weight. And if anything, you're probably going to start to overconsume and start to store.
Now, will you, do you, how do you, well, how do you utilize, that was weird. I had like five questions.
Will you, do you, how you, yeah. When we,
I had like, it sounded,
how
like a,
I,
it sounded like I knew Kung Fu there for a second. Yeah. How you doing? How do you utilize fasting during your pre-contest?
Ah, great question.
See, there's two good questions in a row.
You are.
Mm.
So,
still working on mine.
Zero for you.
Yeah.
Justin. So I warrior fast when I fast. So, and
just like I do,
just like you do. And it, what I like to do it honestly, just to throw a curveball in there. And I do it during my bulk and on my cut. And I like to do it after I've been, you know, eat, like, let's say I'm carb cycling like I am right now. I've been doing that, let's say, for 3 or 4 weeks, you know, or sometimes before that. Sometimes I'll do it as every 2 weeks or so, and I'll throw in at least one day of intermittent fasting.
I bet you're the only physique competitor.
Like, I am.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
And
I shock the shit out of clients anytime I tell them that's what I want them to do. They freak out.
You know what? Part of the problem of with us sharing this is that more people are going to start doing it, and you're going to have to compete
away all the secrets,
and you're going to have to compete against them.
Yeah.
Because how many people have we seen now who've tried this? Who are like, oh my god, it's going to be horrible to fast, and they come back at us and they're like, this felt great. Fasting feels great, and I'm getting leaner, easier.
There'll always be that guy's like, nah, dude, tilapia broccoli all day.
Yeah. I feel too. Fasting works so well for me because I am so regimented, and I do a lot of meal timing and consistency. So nothing is better than to break that consistency by doing a fast. When my body's so used to eating every 2 to 3 hours, 4 to 6+ meals a day, and then all of a sudden I say, no, you're going to have 2 like Sal today. It goes, oh shit. And it burns right. And you can feel, I can feel myself getting leaner by the hour.
Well, so we were talking about leptin, but when it comes to fasting increases catecholamine production. Catecholamines are, you know, norepinephrine, epinephrine.
Oh my God. You came up with something else I didn't know.
Yeah. So, and these are the chemicals that are the go chemicals, or the hype, you know, the hyper chemicals. So like if you take, for example, ephedra, ephedra mimics epinephrine. So when you take ephedra, you get all hyper. This is why people, when they fast, notice they get more energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what those catecholamines do? They amp your metabolism.
Yeah.
They speed up your metabolism. So you're utilizing this, and that's some of the benefit that you're getting.
I can't believe I didn't add that in there. That's like another one to add to the list.
Catecholamine.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, fasting is in there 100%. So I just really started carb cycling 2 weeks ago, but I've been going for almost a month. So when I first start prep for a show, the first is relearning my maintenance level. So I told you guys right now, it's like 4,000 calories. Well, it wasn't 4,000 calories 8 months ago on my last show.
Oh, what? What was it before?
It was more like 3,700.
Dude, so you've clearly built, I'm looking at you and I can see you've built more muscle. And I'll tell you, I can tell you right now where I can see you've built more muscle. But it shows up on your calories, so we know it's true.
Oh, it's also another thing that always makes me chuckle when I see these competitors that do show after show after show, and like they have the same formula every time. I'm like, how do you expect to get gains if your formula is
how do you change?
Yeah, your body. If you have new lean body mass on there, if you've added 5 pounds of muscle, you should have a new caloric maintenance level.
Well, I can see
it's
the
just
difference.
Science.
I can see the difference in your back and in your legs for sure, but your back, and then as a result, because you've been doing your back differently. Your delts look a little bit, especially your rear delts look bigger.
Those are my legs and my back were my two primary. So I pick, which is right now I'm working on trying to develop, with you guys, another book for.
I have a good question.
Yeah.
You just thought of something.
Yeah. No, have you ever considered even getting into more power lifts as far as like, you know, taking it to a different level?
Well, you were doing that, right, when you were phase one-ing it?
Well, yeah, give me an example by what kind of power lifts are you talking about? And because I do some power lifts. So
like a power clean, like a hang clean.
Oh, weightlifting.
Yeah, weightlifting power.
I do incorporate hanging cleans and power cleans. Power cleans, not as much. I do a lot of hanging cleans to a press. I like to throw those in.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do them all the time. I do them to throw a curveball in my workout.
Right.
And in fact, you know, I do a lot of deads in the off season, but as I get closer to showtime, I cut deads out completely. So I haven't done a deadlift in now 4 weeks.
But you are doing heavy, you are doing phase one style stuff where,
oh,
you're,
yeah.
where you're phasing in like a T-bar row. I've seen you do lots of T-bar yes. rows, lots of barbell rows.
Yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like the difference between now and before, because you got more muscle now. But the difference is, A, phasing of your workouts, the trigger sessions, which, by the way Justin was using trigger sessions was definitely more of a functional, you know, you were using Indian clubs, right. he was using mace.
The opposite mace. Of me.
Adam is doing, what, trigger sessions, now you're doing them kind of pumping motions, kind of bodybuilding isolation type motions, and you're focusing on your weaknesses.
Yep.
Yeah, you're
right?
working on those.
So this like physical, like auxiliary. What you see in terms of aesthetic yeah. weaknesses.
And this is why I want to write a book on this, because I feel like although it the MAPS program is the foundation, there's still a lot of things I do different. And you know, you said it yourself, you can see a difference in my legs, my back. Well, that's not just by chance. It's not just because I followed the same old MAPS program. It's because I chose to take those two muscle groups and say, okay, I'm going to build on that. And that, and the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to take our program and I'm going to now plug this in and utilize, but focus on these two things.
Well, I will say this. So far, what you've showed us is brilliant. You know, the concepts and the philosophies of the MAPS program are so moldable and malleable towards a particular goal. For example, Justin's talked about, and you've already started working on
yep.
a MAPS program for athletes, for athletic performance, and now Adam's doing one for competitors. And I mean, the sky's the limit where we can take this and apply some of these concepts. You know, mm-hmm. I could even see it in mixed martial arts. You know, being a jiu-jitsu guy myself, I could see people utilizing trigger sessions to give them muscle memory in terms of, you know, different positions and moves and whatnot. So it's pretty exciting stuff, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what, you know, the nutrition guide, the fact that Justin created it to where you can do the the caloric maintenance level is so big. And once you have that, you know, getting back to that guide, because I was talking about how I first start off the first beginning of my program before I start carb cycling, before I start intermittent fasting, yeah, before I start adding all this stuff. I first am hitting the drawing board, and because let's be honest, in the off season, I'll be the first one to admit to you, I'm not logging all my food. I'm eyeballing everything. I've done this so many times. I know what 200 grams of protein looks like. I know what 300 to 500. You know what I'm saying? I have an idea, but I'm not precise. I don't need to be precise. I'm not competing. Once I get into competing, I need to be precise. I need to know exactly how much I'm cutting or adding or whatever like that. So the first 2 weeks of show prep for me is really relearning my metabolism, saying, okay, where is it at now? And, you know, I have somewhat of an idea that it's somewhere in the 3,500 to 4,500 calorie range is going to be. And I pick a number. I say that's what it's going to be. I, you know, figure out my carbs, my fats, protein, just like with our nutrition guide, and say, okay, this is where it's going to be. And then I follow that. And then based off of how my body responds to that, now, mind you, there's no cardio involved yet. My weight training intensity program, nothing's being switched up. I'm following whatever phase I'm in MAPS, I'm staying with that. No cardio whatsoever. All I'm doing right now is, okay, where does my body maintain? Mm-hmm. Where does it stay at? Now that I have that number, now I can start messing with my carbohydrates and things like that. And the first thing I actually
do, can change.
Yes.
Yeah, you can revisit it.
Exactly. So when I first start off, I actually don't even really start a cycle. I just kind of drop the carbs. So I'll drop down to like 350 grams of carbs, which for me is just under what my maintenance was. 400 is about where my maintenance is. 350, it keeps me super satisfied. I'm, you know, still eating a ton of carbohydrates. I feel great in my workouts, but I am in a little bit of a deficit. So I see this nice little gradual drop. And then after about 2 weeks, then I start to cycle. Then I start to change the intensity, the trigger sessions and the workouts, like then all that stuff. And that's how I do it, is I'm always, every week, something as new is happening to my body, whether it's picking up the intensity in the workouts, whether it's changing something with my nutrition, adding in fasting or cycling, or if it's doing something with my workouts. You know, I'm always manipulating that as I'm going. But I try never, like, I think another big mistake I see people do is they kind of blah everything out the gates.
Yeah,
you know,
all at once.
Yeah, all it's 8 weeks out from a show or 12 weeks, whatever they when they start their prep, and they go, okay, hour cardio, boom, I'm carb cycling, boom, I'm doing this, yeah, boom, I'm doing that. It's like, dude, you got your
they burn out.
Hitting everything at once.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, watching you do this is motivating me to get myself. I'm going to get super shredded along with you. I'm definitely not going going on any stage. Yeah. But I'm motivated to get pretty shredded here.
I got another question, Adam. I mean, you've been going through this process. You've been getting shredded. Are you happy, dude?
Look at the smile on his face.
Actually, you know what's funny? That's a great question, Justin.
Are you going to get moody? Because you've been getting moody lately.
Oh, yeah, no.
Is it going to get worse?
I want to tap into your sensitive side.
So,
God, you got moody the other day.
Why I'm still competing, okay, when this whole thing started, it was all about going from the worst shape of my life and just proving I can get in the best shape of my life. And back then, it was 19%+ body fat was the worst I've ever been in. And then the best shape I'd ever been in my life was when I finished and I was at 7%. Then it just became this like, okay, well, I'm already at 7. Why don't I see if I can get on stage and do that? And then I did that. Then when I did that, two big things happened. One, I kind of fell in love with the challenge of doing that. I'm very competitive. And before, I never had a reason to get that crazy shredded. You know, photo shoots, things like that. But that's still not enough for me. Just, you know, as long as I look pretty good or better than what I looked before, I'm not competing.
Right.
When I'm standing next to another man and my job is to look better than him, you better, and I have something to say or do about it, you better
fucking. And not just like at a bar.
Exactly. Yeah. Not a bar. on stage with judges that are going to be looking at me.
Closed.
You bet your ass I'm going to bring everything I got to that. And so I fell in love with that because it gave me something to push me to that level, to get to my physique that level. So I actually, this part is crazy. A new switch hits right when I get here. When I start to get to a new lean, like when I start getting around 5% like I am right about now, you start seeing new muscles on your body you've never seen. Like right now I'm seeing striations that I'd never seen before, even since my last show. Like that's how I know I've made gains. I'm like, oh, I didn't have that before. And I get really into that shit. And I get very, the nerdy side of me that we don't talk very much about, this is where I get nerdy. Because I get so fascinated by manipulating different foods and how different things my body responds to it. Everything from the workouts, how my body responds to how much leaner I look in the morning, in the daytime, in the afternoon, how much water I should add to this, how much sodium of this. Like, dude, I get crazy, bro.
Dude, you know what we need to do?
What?
We should record one, like we did with Justin during his 90-day challenge. We should record an episode every week following you along now. We got 4 weeks to show. Would you mind doing that? I know you have a lot of, you know,
well, I mean,
it's
I log
kind of a private thing.
No. I log all my stuff anyways. I'm very detailed about that when I'm getting ready for a show. So people can
follow you along to the day of your show, bro.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All you competers. Is that a real word?
Yeah, computers.
Computers.
I got a computer right here.
Hashtag.
Hey, Doug, how are we looking on time?
Yeah, we're good. 35 minutes.
What did you write up there? What's that? Is that, what do people get there?
Looks like it's a link to follow Adam's Road to Show.
Yeah, I'm going
to
throw up a page.
Yeah.
www.mindpumpradio.com/Adam. And you can go over there, see pictures. You going to post pictures, Adam?
Sure.
All right?
Sure.
You can put some stats up there, what you've eaten, your measurements, whatever else you want to throw in there so people can follow along with you.
So that's mindpumpradio.com/Adam. And then, of course, if you just go to mindpumpradio.com and click... That was weird. That was a weird sound.
That was kind of cool, actually.
Bro, I was like God for a second.
You sound like the devil right there.
You could go to mindpumpradio.com, click on the yellow button, and then you'll see all the programs that we have available. And since we're following you along, Adam, I think it's only fair to say, Doug, that we keep the programs on sale at least... Until you like that, huh? You like how I closed Doug right there?
Tiny bit longer.
Don't get mad, Doug. We got to keep him on sale, bro, till Adam
keep
competes.
Keep it spinning. Yeah.
At least, right?
Oh, yeah, we'll do that because you've kind of entrapped me.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah,
we'll keep them live as far as the discounts are concerned until then.
So. All right, cool. Well, listeners, tune in every week to follow Adam along on his road to San Jose.
And cheer him along.
Let's do this.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.